Welcome to Drops of Science, the multilingual science podcast that selects for you the latest news from natural sciences. Today's first news concerns the ancestor of placental mammals. According to Dr. Emily Carlisle and collaborators of the University of Bristol, the groups from which men, bats and dogs derive would have coexisted for a short time with dinosaurs. To date, fossils of placental mammals have been found in rock strata following the 66 million year old fall date of the famous asteroid on planet Earth, leading to the conclusion that the group only evolved after the impact. Researchers have managed to show that for some mammals this conclusion is incorrect. They estimated the ages of all mammalian families and orders from fossil data and used this information to model their origin. Of the 18 total orders of placental mammals examined in this work, primates, which include the human lineage, have 100% of probability of having Cretaceous origin around the Cretaceous-Paleogene boundary, groups from which hedgehogs, shrews and moles come, rabbits and hares, and also dogs and cats, show a lower but consistently high probability for the same origin, while the remaining clades have less than 50% of probability of having originated in the Cretaceous, implying an origin after the fall of the asteroid. After surviving the devastating impact, placental mammals diversified rapidly, perhaps driven by the loss of competition from the dinosaurs, with whom they shared the planet. From paleontology, we have a further discovery, but this time it concerns the Australian continent and in particular the ancestor of kangaroos, which would not have been great jumpers. Dr. Christine Jenny and collaborators from the University of Bristol examined the fossil evidence of macropodoid locomotion from the last 25 million years, and through the analysis of the length of the tibia and calcaneus, they were able to understand that the rapid hopping movement typical of today's large kangaroos was actually rare or completely absent in the past. The first macropods of the Middle Oligocene-Miocene, from which kangaroos and wallabies evolved, were much smaller than the current species and used, as a primary locomotion, a more quadrupedal movement, climbing and slow jumping. Specimens over 20 kilos appeared 10 million years ago, with increasing aridity in Australia and the spread of more open vegetation. The jump has thus gradually improved towards a performance that leads to a higher speed, for weights around 35 kilos, with a theorized extreme limit of 140 and 160 kilos. The ancient species were much larger in size, too big to jump, so they were probably quadrupeds. Modern kangaroos have weights between 50 and 90 kilos. Their low-speed locomotion is not hopping, but so-called pentapedal, a modified quadruped which consists in using the tail to form a tripod with the two front legs, bringing the hind legs forward. According to the researchers, the modern great leaping kangaroos are the exception in the evolution of this group, and managed to evolve due to the geologically recent extinction of similar animals that moved, however, in different ways. We now have news from the forestry sector, which deals with the adaptation of forests to climate variations. According to the researchers at UC Santa Barbara and the University of Utah, 88% of forests may have the characteristic to adapt to climate change, but unfortunately, most of these are not doing so at a speed suitable to reduce water stress and mortality. Researchers arrived at this conclusion through the use of mathematical models and data such as species, size, density, but also tree physiology and traits related to water absorption and loss. In fact, plants lose water through the same pores they use to absorb carbon dioxide. When there is a lot of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, plants can reduce the size of these pore openings and still acquire the carbon they need for photosynthesis. By doing this, trees reduce the amount of water they sip out of their leaves. In a hotter climate, the atmosphere in some region is getting drier and leaves are still losing water. To overcome this, trees in a drier areas are producing increasingly sparse crowns with fewer leaves than in the world's wetter wooded areas. However, the speed of climate change exceeds that of their adaptation of forest species, and if it does not improve, the water stress of trees will also increase, with consequent mortality of the same. Fewer trees will mean a drastic reduction in the absorption of atmospheric carbon dioxide. We now move from the terrestrial to the aquatic environment to talk about the communication of dolphins. According to the research carried out by the Woodhull Oceanographic Institute in Massachusetts, dolphins change their tone of voice to communicate with their puppies, just as humans do with their young children. During the first months of life, bottlenose dolphins develop a unique melody similar to a name that they repeat in the water, probably to keep track of each other. The research team led by Dr. Leila Say observed that dolphins' mothers seem to change the melody in the presence of the younger dolphins, who tend to stay alongside their mothers from 3 to even 6 years. To confirm this hypothesis, the researchers recorded the whistle and melodies of 19 female dolphins in Sarasota Bay in Florida for 34 years. Analyzing all the recordings, they realized that the whistle emitted by females in the presence of their offspring had on average a higher maximum tone and a slightly lower minimum than those emitted in the absence of the young. The research is not finished, as researchers would like to make sure that this change in the singing tones of female dolphins also occurs in more natural and undisturbed conditions. We do not move from the aquatic environment, but we descend toward the ocean depths, with an extraordinary conclusion reached independently by two research groups from the USA, belonging respectively to the University of San Francisco and the University of California. The researchers observed that octopuses and squid modify their RNA to survive at low temperatures. Cephalopods are ectothermic organisms whose internal temperature depends on the external environment and is often regulated through behavioral strategies. In the case of octopuses and squids, temperature adaptation strategies have reached the molecular level. These animals, in fact, changed the proteins they produce by modifying areas of their RNA through a phenomenon called recoding. Octopuses brought to cold temperatures altered 20,000 RNA sites in just a few hours, changing a third of instruction for protein production, such as slowing down the movement of kinesin. Something similar was also observed for squid, in which instead the alteration of the RNA led to an acceleration of the movement of the same protein. Even if researchers still don't know the function of the kinesin, the recoding of the RNA in different tissues and environmental temperatures can support the physiological needs of cephalopods and allow them to acclimate quickly to the changing environmental conditions that occur in deep ocean. Let's continue now talking about biphonation, that is the simultaneous production of two sounds. This phenomenon is very rare. Until now, this ability has been observed in horses, moose, and songbirds, as well as humans. Dr. Adriano Lameira and collaborators at the University of Warwick recently added orangutans to this list. The research team studied almost 3,800 hours of recordings made on two groups of orangutans of the islands of Borneo and Sumatra, and through the analysis of the spectrogram of the sounds, they observed that some of them were produced simultaneously. In particular, large male orangutans on Borneo made loud chewing noises in combination with rumblings and low grunts. This combination is produced to intimidate the opponent and assert dominance. Sumatran females, on the other hand, let out kissing squeals at the same time as long, low calls. These two sounds serve to warn of the presence of the possible predator. The fact that orangutans are able to produce two sounds simultaneously suggests that this vocal ability is part of the repertoire of the great apes, and therefore of our common ancestor, leading not to exclude further evolutionary links with neighboring groups. With this news, we close today's episode of Drops of Science. Thanks for staying with us. See you soon, and good science!